all my life, the one thing I wanted most in my relationships was someone who knew how to fight fair. Not someone who avoided conflict or fought dirty, but someone who knew how to work through conflict respectfully. Growing up, I never saw what healthy conflict looked like. When my parents fought, it was never pretty. Not once did I see them sit across from each other and work things out. So when I got married, I really hoped things would be different. And what I got instead was silence. And honestly, nothing ever gets resolved. If this sounds familiar, you are probably asking yourself, so what does healthy conflict actually look like in family relationships? Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you're done with people-pleasing, tired of repeating the same patterns, and ready to learn what healthy relationships actually look like, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. At 65, I started learning the things I wish I'd known decades ago, like how to see the patterns, why we keep repeating them, and how to finally treat ourselves with the respect we always deserved. And somewhere along the way, I realized something that changed everything. When we don't understand our patterns, we pass them on. Not because we're bad parents, but because no one ever showed us anything different. That realization drives everything I do. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, let's all shine a little brighter today. Most of us have never actually seen healthy conflict up close. So the best way to understand what it looks like is to first look at how unhealthy conflict has been affecting you. And it can show up in different ways. For example, when something needs to be discussed, the other person will withdraw or go quiet. And instead of working through the issue, you're left sitting in silence, trying to figure out what on earth you did wrong. Or maybe conversations turn into you being blamed and the other person never taking responsibility. And then it becomes more about proving who is right than actually dealing with the issue. And in some situations, it shows up as punishment, not always in obvious ways, but through the silent treatment, a cold shoulder, sarcasm, or exclusion, where you feel the shift and know you are paying a price for bringing something up. When conflict turns into punishment, people stop telling the truth and start protecting themselves. What makes unhealthy conflict hard to recover from is that it leaves you with ongoing confusion because nothing ever gets dealt with. So you end up walking away from the conversation, if it is even a conversation, second-guessing yourself, wondering what just happened, and worse, wondering whether you are the problem. This isn't just emotional. It's how scapegoats learn to doubt their own reality. And over time, the second-guessing and confusion don't just stay in your thoughts. You end up feeling it in your body, like you are on pins and needles. You also start paying attention to the other person's tone and mood, reading the room before you even say anything, because you are trying to avoid being caught off guard again. So when people talk about healthy conflict, it can feel almost impossible to imagine. Not because you are unwilling to learn, but because you are trying to understand something you have never actually seen or experienced before. And I know that feeling personally, because healthy conflict was never modeled for me either. When my parents fought, oh, my mom didn't fight fair. I remember this one time. She was so angry that she threw crackers at my dad while we were all sitting at the lunch table. Apparently, my dad had not shaken the new minister's hand in the way my mom had asked him to, and that was enough to set her off. Looking back, it's actually a little funny, but sitting at that lunch table as a little girl, it was anything but. The angrier my mom got, the louder she got, And I'm not proud of this, but I picked that up from her. I was a yeller when my kids were young, and honestly, they still see me that way, even though I've worked hard to change that. And when the yelling wouldn't do the trick, my mom would go silent. She used to tell the story of driving 3 days from Florida back to Canada without saying a word to my dad, and she said it like it was something to be proud of. Now my dad, on the other hand, he was quieter, and it took a lot to get him truly angry. From what I remember, he preferred to talk, but talking only works when both people are willing, and in my house, it was never mutual. So when I got married, I really hoped my husband would be different, that he would be someone who would talk things through, stay at the table, and work toward a resolution. But that is not who he is. He is an avoider. When conflict comes up, he walks out the door and leaves me standing there, feeling angry, alone, and frustrated, thinking, here we go again. And in those moments, I wondered if I'd ever see what healthy conflict actually looks like. Those were my models, but they don't have to be yours, because in relationships, the only person you can change is yourself. So here are 5 ways I've learned what healthy conflict can look like in family relationships. I hope they will help you as well. Number 1, you both stay in the conversation. Healthy conflict means no one walks away, shuts down, or goes silent to make a point. You stay and deal with the issue together. Now that doesn't mean you can never take a break. If things get too heated, you can say, I need a few minutes. But then you come back. The difference is this. Leaving and not returning is avoidance. Taking a break and coming back is part of healthy conflict. Number 2, you talk about what you feel and you listen to understand. Healthy conflict means speaking from your own experience rather than pointing fingers. You say what bothered you and why without turning it into, well, you always, or you never. And when the other person is talking, you listen to understand before you respond. Not just waiting for your turn to talk, but genuinely trying to hear them. And number 3, you deal with one issue at a time. Healthy conflict stays focused on the issue at hand. You talk about what just happened, not everything that has ever gone wrong in the relationship. There's no scorekeeping, no dragging in old problems. When too many things are talked about at once, nothing gets resolved, and everyone walks away more frustrated than before. And number 4, you take responsibility for your part in the conflict. In healthy conflict, each person owns their part, even if it feels small. Instead of defending yourself, you try to understand where the other person is coming from. Now that might sound like, I can see why that hurt you, or I didn't realize how that landed. You can also be clear about what you need to keep the conversation respectful. You can say, I am willing to talk this through, but not if voices are raised, or I need us to slow down. Healthy conflict has boundaries, and both people need to respect them. And when both people do that, the conversation stays focused on the issue instead of turning into something that feels like an attack. And number 5, you come back and repair. After the conversation, you do not just move on and pretend it did not happen. You check in with the other person, and you clear up anything that still feels unresolved. Healthy conflict does not end with distance or silence. It ends with both people feeling heard and the relationship still intact. One of the most powerful things you can do for your children is let them see you handle conflict well. Not perfectly, but well. Because what they watch you do is what they will do in their own relationships one day. And let's be honest, there are going to be times when you lose your temper or say something you wish you hadn't. That is not the end of the world. What matters is what you do next. Going back and saying, "I got too loud and I shouldn't have. I am sorry," teaches your child something incredibly valuable. It shows them that people who love each other can get it wrong and still come back and make it right. That means letting them see you stay in a hard conversation instead of walking away. It means they see you take a breath when things get heated and hearing you say, "I was wrong," when you need to. Those moments do not make you look weak in front of your kids. They make you look human. And they show your kids that conflict does not have to be scary. Healthy conflict is not about getting it right every time. It is about learning and practicing how to stay in the conversation, speak honestly, listen to understand, take responsibility, and come back to repair when something goes wrong. Most of us didn't have healthy conflict modeled for us growing up, so it feels foreign at first. But once you start to understand what healthy conflict looks like, you begin to see the unhealthy patterns more clearly. And that awareness is where change begins. Because once you know what it looks like, you are no longer at the mercy of how someone else fights. Whether you're starting to understand yourself more clearly, working through old family dynamics, or learning to do things differently, you're building the skills that help you grow into the person you were meant to be. Listening is important, but real change happens when you use what you've learned. So choose just one life lesson from today and try it out this week. That's when things begin to shift. And if you want more life lessons like this, be sure to follow Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. If this episode resonated with you, there's a link in the show notes to show your appreciation. Either way, I am grateful for you being here. If no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?